children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day.
Good evening and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show, everybody. I'm Vicki Newton. This is the first one of the new year, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Thank you so much. We are excited about tonight's guest. Juliana Richardson, the founder of History Makers, is joining us tonight. She'll talk about the amazing collection of interviews with pioneering African Americans that she and her team assembled. So impressive that the Library of Congress has included it in its archives. Plus, an Atlanta man who sounds just like Dr. King. He's going to join us about the upcoming birthday of our favorite civil rights icon. And of course, we have to talk about health. But first, listen to this.
I still have a dream. America, tell me, what has happened to our love? One nation under God, we the people. Can there be a day, a federal holiday, where we unite in brotherly love? One day to give honor to God and the keepers of the faith, a holy day. Give us this day, a day of love that overcomes hate. Preachers, are you with me? Give us this day. From the Little Rock Nine to the Carolina Nine, ensuring that their sacrifices will not be in vain. Give us this day, a historic day, where hundreds and thousands of clergy, state leaders, youth activists, high school and college educators, students, mentors, and institutions will convene at the state capitol, proclaim and pray for the works for Arkansas to honor this day as an exclusive celebration. Give us this day, January 18, 2016, the Proclamation Bracelet Rally. God has spoken. The governor has spoken. So let us all unite, celebrate, and feel the movement. From prophecy to promise. God bless you.
And so that voice, all of us recognize it, or at least that voice sounds like someone we know and hold in great regard, Dr. King. That actually, though, is Reverend Stephon Ferguson from Atlanta. He will join us later tonight to talk about the Give Us This Day effort in Arkansas. Arkansas, Alabama, and Mississippi. All three celebrate Dr. King's birthday alongside Robert E. Lee's birthday. There is an effort in Arkansas to have separate celebrations. So one of the organizers will join us, as well as Reverend Stephon Ferguson, who you heard and sounds just like Dr. King. We start, though, with the founder of History Makers, an amazing body of work that is housed at the Library of Congress, Juliana Richardson, is joining us now. Good evening, Juliana. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
We have,
and you know, you were talking about the effort with Robert E. Lee Day,
yes,
and Martin Luther King's Day, and I actually earlier this or late last year sat next to a young white guy, sort of hick, who actually was, you know, trying to escape of the racism that was surrounding him. Mm-hmm. And you know, and really talked about that, that it's a really, really a very serious effort.
It is growing in Arkansas, and on January 18th, thousands are being asked to meet in Little Rock on the grounds of the state capitol to make their voices heard, to speak out against this tragically ironic coincidence that Dr. King and Robert E. Lee share the same birthday. So one of the organizers joining us, this is the type of interview that you would have in your body of work with history makers. So many of us have to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear advice from the famous in our community. How did this all start, the idea of history makers?
Well, it started because I did not know my history, and I was, you know, I was 9 years old in a classroom where there were, I was the only black kid in my class, and the teacher asked us to talk about our family backgrounds, and everybody raised their hands, and at that point, though it's not really that much different than today, at that point, the only thing we studied about black people were slavery and George Washington Carver. And I just couldn't think he had done all those things with peanuts, my nine-year-old brain, when all we had been were slaves. And I just think, so the goal, I did oral history interviews as a young college student at New York Schomburg Library. People like Butterfly McQueen, who was in Gone with the Wind, and a man named Lee Whipper, oldest living black actor at the time, and historian John Henry Clark, and Honey Coles, famous tap dancer. And those stories really had a profound impact on me. So 15 years ago, I'm a lawyer by training, but I those stories really had stayed with me. And I thought that what if we did create it? And so our goal was to create the largest African-American video oral history archive, and that is what we have created. We're still in the process of reaching our 5,000 goal, but we've assembled 9,000 hours of testimony on tape.
It is just the earliest phenomenal.
Thank you.
The earliest, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The earliest recollection going back to the 1700s, you know, because we really don't think, when we think of the black experience in this country, we think in terms of the antebellum South as the beginning part, even though we talk about. But, you know, when you look at the 1700s, there's a lot of northern slavery history coming out of Rhode Island and Massachusetts and New York. And so, but the earliest recollection goes back, and our collection goes back to the 1700s. And we've done interviews on over 180 U.S. cities and towns. The Norwegian embassy actually flew us to Norway to interview then 94-year-old Anne Brown, who was the first Best Supporting Actress on Broadway. There's a woman in Vienna that I've been wanting to go to, but our goal, you know, or to go in and interview.
And can you tell us what her story is? What
well,
makes her
so
unique?
Well, she is very, very well known in the classical music genre. And so there, we, you know, what we don't know about ourselves, and it's resonated in the larger community, how rich and broad and really in many ways amazing our story.
Absolutely.
And so I think, you know, we've accumulated 9,000 hours of testimony. And as you said, last year it was announced that the Library of Congress is our permanent repository. And so we're in the largest collection for audiovisual material in the world.
Oh, wow. That is, it's hard to even process 9,000 hours of testimony. But to your point, that the history of our community, of our people, is so rich and so broad, and how tragic that we don't, many of us, recognize the strength, the courage, the triumph in our story.
Right. Yeah, I think once the stories get out, and that's what our goal is, it's not just the recording of them, but mm-hmm. we're very much a very serious archive. So mm-hmm. Every interview is transcribed, every interview is processed, and will be added to our digital archive. But there are just so many stories within the collection. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite?
I have
a top five?
I have favorites. I have favorites. I mean, I just right before the break, I finished Angela Davis's interview.
Oh my goodness!
And I find her an amazingly not only bright person, mm-hmm. but a very committed person in the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing, of the prison industrial complex, which now is being discussed, has been what she has been talking about for now over 40 years. And, when you think of the courage that it took, but you also have to look at her parents who mm-hmm. were leaning towards, communism. When they were in the South in Birmingham. And so in her, you find a person who has this great intellect. And the thing is that, to get the inside story of how it was to be, on the lam mm-hmm. and avoiding the law, wearing wigs and going to movies with a person who had been assigned to work with her who she really had not known, and yet the worldwide attention that came to someone who was in their, 20s.
Sure, very young at the time.
And then, and then the other thing, and we were talking about this, she said Toni Morrison had been very helpful to her. Mm-hmm. And Toni Morrison was an editor at that point at a publishing company. But the book is, really brilliantly written. And so that was, one interview. And I have lots of interviews, the ones that are, more contextual. But I also started someone's interview who actually was very important in the start of our organization. Because mm-hmm. Our first event was, it was an evening with Harry Belafonte, and Danny Glover did the interview.
Okay.
So we just finally got him to sit down for an interview. I'm meeting Danny Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was a part of the start of Black Studies in the United States. Not many people know that Black Studies started at San Francisco State, with Nathan Hare, who made San Francisco his home, was brought in. But it's this, and I found that Danny Glover had an amazing, amazing ability to recall and knew a lot of dates and people's names, and is, as he also considers himself, a radical, which he differentiates from the black nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of black nationalist stories. So, people like, we actually, I interviewed the oldest living black cowboy at the time,
okay.
a man named Alonzo Petty. Mm-hmm. He has since passed away. And you could tell that he was a cowboy. Mm-hmm. He would sort of draw things on the floor, of where things were located and talked about the early days of the rodeo.
It's just so fascinating. I would love to sit and listen to all 9,000 hours. I'm curious if you can point out maybe the common denominators in the stories of people who achieve on this level. Are there certain qualities that you find in almost all of them?
Well, I would say, on the back end, looking at success, I think that success comes in lots of shapes and sizes. But you find people who are incredibly driven and were motivated by someone. mm-hmm. you know, whether it be a parent or you know, and or a teacher. Mm-hmm. There are lots of situations. You know, we live in a world today that's incredibly complex, and you know, some very challenged in their upbringings, but there are a lot of lessons in our collection that are appropriate for that.
When the rest...
And so I don't think... I won't say a common denominator, but mm-hmm. what I would say is that if you look at the Black experience, mm-hmm. what I think really shines out through these stories is how absolutely amazing. And it is... a history of a people who overcame tremendous odds.
Yes, indeed.
Who, in a segregated community, made their kids feel like they were really special and loved, mm-hmm. and that the world was their oyster, but they told them that it was an unfair world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you had people who were graduating, you know, from HBCUs, never having been to white schools. And before the, you know, really onslaught of affirmative action, they graduate number one or two in their class.
Mm-hmm.
And so how is that, you know? And so I think when all is said and done, there will be a lot said about the Black experience if we can get the content out. Now, I have to also say to you and your audience that the largest group studying Black history are young white people.
And let's talk about that.
And
let's talk about why there is more interest, it seems, from young white Americans in the story than Black Americans. What is it that causes us, in many ways, to disown or put distance there? From our own experience and celebrating our story. Why is it?
Well, I think that in a lot of respects, we've been marginalized, and so it's our story. And so a lot of people, parents of kids, say, you know, don't major in Black studies, you know, major in history.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on mainstreaming, but it is really important for someone who has spent the last 15 years really working incredibly hard with a lot of support. It's really, really important that the root not be cut off from the tree, and that those who come from this great history know it, are emboldened by it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I was a 9-year-old. I didn't think I had a history when a lot of kids had them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about knowing where you come from. Gives you a sense of place.
A sense of belonging, absolutely, a sense of place.
Mm-hmm.
And a sense of pride and ownership in something that is grand.
That's right. Right.
Tell us how.
So I think, go on.
I wanted to make sure that before we end our conversation, we tell our listeners how they can access History Makers so they can sit at the feet of these great Americans, these great African Americans.
Sure. We have our website, www.thehistorymakers.com, and there's biographical information on there for all 2,700 of our interviews and growing. We also hope that your listeners will help participate with us. People nominate people on our website for an interview.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are people that have helped with our events and we have this back-to-school program we do, which is sending Black leaders into schools to talk to the kids. And that has had really marvelous results with even, you know, some of our history makers are going as far as adopting a school. The other thing I think is important that we're working on a digital archive that is searchable by image and text. It costs $30 a month, but literally now there are 3,000 hours, and in about 2 years there will be all 9,000 hours available, and that's hopefully a small contribution for what it's taken to build it. That collection actually has been now recently, in the last 2 months, Harvard University, Yale, Boston University, and Emory, and Howard University have all licensed it. So it's on those campuses, and we hope that that will grow. But they, you know, it's what they said about it. They were like, you know, wow, this is great, because it's everything at the fingertips, totally searchable. So you can type in, you know, you can type in Little Rock, and everything that comes up where someone has talked about it will come up with just a couple keystrokes. So it's taken us a long time to build it, but hopefully it will be a permanent record for the world to really understand about those people who were from African ancestry.
It is a national treasure. I mean, it is a treasure that is invaluable, priceless. You cannot put a price on it. I wanted to ask you, before we wrap up, what does it feel like when the Library of Congress calls and says, you know, we were thinking we'd like to include your body of work?
Vicki, I still get emotional about it because, first of all, they said that it was one of the most organized collections that they had come. And they are just a wonderful team there, because the other thing that is important about it is that there has only been one other time that there's been a massive attempt to record the Black experience with the first voice, and that was with the W.P.A. Slave Narrative. They're also housed at the Library of Congress. So it's almost like a perfect circle, the stories of those enslaved, formerly enslaved, and the stories of their descendants.
That's
all
beautiful.
Under one roof.
Beautiful.
And so I just think the other thing that is somewhat amazing about the slave narratives is that here it was, the government gifting, in some respects, this to the Black community, this heritage. But in our case, it's a small Black nonprofit organization gifting to the federal government to supplement the record and to really show the history of those people who lived during the 20th century and what they did with what they were given and how they began.
It is such a powerful legacy, and we salute you for having the vision to create the History Makers. What a phenomenal body of work, Juliana Richardson.
Thank you. Thank you so much for shining a light, helping to shine a light on our work. And we hope also that we will be able, in the years coming ahead, that Little Rock will also be better represented in our collection and its history.
Well, we will stay in touch. You've done a great job, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
The Village Celebration continues. When we return, we're going to talk about the government's dietary guidelines for a healthier you in 2016. So make sure you stay with us.
Do you have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life, too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships, too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
Hey everybody, it's Monica Gaynor from the Coffee with Monica talk show, and I have some amazing news for those who know me and those of you who don't. I have been made a part of the Joynet Radio family, and I'm super, super excited to bring Purpose Moments to you every Saturday at noon. It's going to be amazing. We'll have inspiring guests who will share their Purpose Moment stories with you, and also some fun and entertaining news as well. So I am so excited. I welcome you to take part in the show. Then also check me out on social media at Coffee with Monica on Facebook, because we're going to have some polls out there where you can actually take part in the show, because it's not about me, it's about you. I look forward to sharing Purpose Moments with you every Saturday from 12 noon to 12:30 p.m. on joinetradio.com.
You love hunting season. You've camouflaged yourself to blend in with your surroundings, but you're still searching for the best place to hide. Even if it takes a lifetime, you won't give up until you take down your target. It's impressive, really, that mouth cancer displays such dedication. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did you think I was talking to you? No, I'm talking to the cancer-causing chemicals that damaged your mouth last year while you were dipping in your tree stand.
Ditch the dip. For help quitting, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW today.
Hi, Jenny. Do you want to be a television star?
Why, of course, darling. I can be on my way to an Academy Award.
Yeah, just make sure you send me a ticket. You should check out Indigo.TV.
That's right. Check out Indigo.TV to act, direct, and produce your own production.
You can broadcast to millions of people across the country. That's Indigo.TV. That's Indigo TV. Entertainment everywhere.
Christian Republic Media. Christian Republic Media. Christian Republic Media. Yo, this is your boy Trey with Christian Republic Media. I want to invite you to come join us on Joynet Radio every Monday night. Come hang out with us. We just want to discuss real topics, real issues. We want to be heart to heart. We want to speak truth to power. We're not holding anything back, but we know that our generation is under attack, and we want to be a defense by shedding the light on the truth. Come join us. Let's talk about it. Those very things that you question, that you see going on in the world that don't look right, we want to shine light on them. We believe God still lives. We believe God is coming back. And now is the time to prepare. We are Generation Now. We are G Now. That's Generation Now. This is our now time. Let's move in now, faith. Every Monday at 6 p.m. Check out the G Now Countdown Show at 6 p.m. on Joynet Radio, Christian Republic Media.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. We are on to our health. How are you doing with those New Year's resolutions? In the gym every day? Twice a day? No sugar so far? Mm-hmm. I thought so. I've had far more than I should. The government, though, for the first time, is recommending a daily limit to sugar. And there are some other guidelines. Joining us now is our favorite doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. Happy New Year, Dr. Di.
Happy New Year, Vicki.
So how are you doing on those resolutions? I mean, you're a doctor, so I know you're doing well.
Still counting it yet.
How many cups of green tea did you have today?
I struggle just as everyone else. And just look, I always say, just like Oprah, I struggle too.
Oh.
try to do better. So
tell us about these guidelines that the government has released that they say would really make a big difference in the quality of life and the length of our lives.
Well, the new guidelines, I say new dietary guidelines, but I don't know if they're so new. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the U.S. Nutritional guidelines are released usually about every 5 years. And when they do that, they update them. And so the new guidelines basically say, let's eat less sugar, let's eat less salt, and maybe a moderate consumption of coffee is okay. It goes into some detail about some of the other things to avoid, but there's still, as with anything, will be controversy about, the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So I say the bottom line is let's talk what's going to be best for that person based on their health problems.
So taking a very tailored approach to these guidelines mm-hmm. is what you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. And then the controversy that I saw in the new guidelines is it seems that there were mm-hmm. some who really wanted a kind of hard and fast limit on processed foods, meats, red meats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we do know that processed foods, let's talk about that. And that's why I talk about people staying away from the center aisles in the mm-hmm. grocery store.
Okay.
Processed foods are probably going to be full of saturated fats, and they're going to have more carbohydrates. And we know saturated fats are not good for you because of the heart disease that it can cause. But they also took another step and said, well, let's talk about processed meats, too. Because a lot of times what people do is that if they avoid carbohydrates, lower their sugar intake, they end up eating more meats. And they might need to be very careful about the meats that they take into consideration. Processed meats, such as bacon or sausages, are not the best meats to choose.
Okay. Well, that's big okay. in America because bacon is very popular.
And it tastes good, you know.
You better believe it. It sure does.
It's very palatable. And so, you know, what I think they're trying to stress is that let's take the focus off of telling people not to have what they want, but you just do everything in moderation. The guidelines do put a limit on sodium intake. We know that a lot of salt does contribute to high blood pressure, particularly for African-American people. And so the guidelines were pretty specific in limiting that number to about 2,300 milligrams of sodium a day. Again, I tell people, read your labels, because if you mm-hmm. read your labels, you can go over that with one hamburger. So most of the sodium that you should be getting in your diet should just come from plant-based sources or food sources. And not adding a lot of additional salt. The other thing is that saturated fats such as that, which is found in bacon, is a leading cause of heart disease. So lowering saturated fat, staying away from it basically, and looking for the healthier fats that you see in olive oil, it's just going to be hard.
Nuts and that type
healthy,
of thing. So if I can't have
Absolutely.
A hamburger and I can't eat bacon, what am I to eat?
What are you going to eat?
Beans,
well,
peas.
Well, you can have a hamburger.
Okay.
Why not have a veggie burger?
Oh, Dr. Dye, a veggie burger?
Well, but let me finish.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why not have a turkey burger?
That will
and
work.
And then when you really want your hamburger, you have it. Because most of the time you're eating either something that's very lean, have your hamburger. If you are exercising and eating right the majority of the time.
Majority of the time.
Do you agree? The majority of the time.
Yes.
Let's take 30 days out of the month.
Okay.
30 days out of the month, you are probably going to eat unhealthy how many days?
20.
Let's say
no.
10, okay? That's a
okay,
lot.
10. All right, that's a third. That's a third. That actually is quite a
that's
bit. That's a lot
third.
Of cheating.
That's a lot of cheating. And then how many of those 30 days are you going to incorporate exercise in your plan, in your plan?
Oh, yikes.
You know, most people are not getting enough exercise.
That's true.
And consuming way too much food that is not healthy for us. It's causing more obesity, more diabetes, more heart disease, more high blood pressure. So I say let's start simple. First
okay.
of all, I don't like New Year's resolutions, okay?
Okay?
I just don't like them. Because a lot of times we end up making promises that we just cannot keep. But because it is the new year, let's just start with saying we're going to try to do better. And if it's a 30-day, on average, 30 days out of the month, why not change that and say, at least for 25 of those days, I'm going to commit to healthy eating and healthy exercise.
Now, that sounds reasonable.
Can we do that?
That sounds reasonable. 30 days
That's
in
reasonable.
The month, 25 of those, I'm a good girl. I'm going to do what the doctor recommends, what the government is recommending, and curtail the salt, the sugar, and the processed foods and exercise.
And exercise. Because if you at least do that, we know things, life happens, things come up. You don't feel so bad when you miss, or you don't feel so bad when you have that extra helping of ice cream. I know that's one of your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So because life happens, 25 days of a month, we will do what's best for our bodies and what's going to be best for our minds as well. We do know that a lot of foods not only contribute to heart disease, but vascular disease that affects our mind.
Mm-hmm.
So more strokes.
Sure.
Possibly more dementia.
Mm. So for those of us who may find it a little difficult to move and get off the sofa, what is your most compelling argument for get going today? No matter how small the step is, get going today.
Right. Why, just feeling better. It is so difficult in your day-to-day life. For those of us who work day in and day out, we think we're getting exercise because we're going to work, but really your body has adapted to that.
Okay.
You need to try to just get moving. And I like to tell my patients, get up and get out in the sunlight if you can, because the sunlight just makes you feel better. If you can get up, get in the sunlight, not midday sun when it's really, really hot, but that early morning sunlight or late evening, and just start with a simple walk for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Everybody has 10 minutes they can spare, right?
10 minutes. Walk for 10 minutes. So as we wrap up, we are starting with 10 minutes. It's modest, and it's doable.
That is, it's doable.
But it's going to pay huge dividends.
Week, that's right. Let's increase it to 20 weeks. So for the month of January, our challenge, the first week, just 10 minutes. Just give me 10 minutes daily of just walking. And then that second week, number two, increase it to 20 minutes, even if you have to break it up in 10-minute portions, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third week, let's move it up to 30 minutes and just hold it there until we come back in February. And let's see just how much healthier you will feel.
Okay, so the village is 10 minutes this week. We're going for 20 next, and we're going for 30 the following week. And what we are doing is training our minds and our bodies in this habit of moving outside
of
work. Okay. All right, I'm taking the challenge, Dr. Dai. You're on. I'm in. I'm all the
all
way
right.
in.
I've got
okay. Thank you
all
for
right.
joining us. We'll
Sounds
check with
great.
You next week when we raise it to 20. We're raising you to 20 next
we'll
week.
Go to 20.
All right.
Absolutely, Vicki.
Thank you so much. Always a joy to talk with you. Have a great week.
Always a joy. You too.
All right. As the First Lady says, get moving. 10 minutes this week. We'll be right back with Reverend Arthur Hunt to talk about Give Us This Day in Arkansas.
Studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
You love hunting season. You've camouflaged yourself to blend in with your surroundings, but you're still searching for the best place to hide. Even if it takes a lifetime, you won't give up until you take down your target. It's impressive, really, that mouth cancer displays such dedication. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did you think I was talking to you? No, I'm talking to the cancer-causing chemicals that damaged your mouth last year while you were dipping in your tree stand.
Ditch the dip. For help quitting, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW today.
Hello, I'm Catherine Franklin, caller on All You. Come want to have fun and finally have a chance to say what's on your mind. How many times have you felt like your opinion doesn't count? Well, not anymore. You're invited to participate in Teen Talk, a talk show for teens, by teens, and about current teen issues. Contact the station for more information. Heard on the Time to Consider program with Melvin Moss. And remember, if it's not time to consider, it's not Teen Talk.
All right, listen up!
Streaming to a worldwide audience with a local appeal.
Oh, no!
Indigo Television is here.
All right, let's break it down. Let's break it down.
It's an internet-based television network that includes sports, entertainment, talk, politics, and education.
I'm Kofi Adjopa, founder and CEO of Indigo Television.
Entertainment everywhere.
Our goal is to become a major source of family-oriented entertainment on the internet. Check us out right now. Indigo TV. Indigo.tv.
You're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show. If you have just joined us, there is an effort underway, we'll say, in the state of Arkansas to separate the celebration of Dr. King's birthday from that of Robert E. Lee's. Arkansas, Alabama, and Mississippi are the only three states where that occurs. One of the organizers of the Give Us This Day movement, as it is known, is Reverend Arthur Hunt, and he joins us now to talk more about what organizers hope to accomplish. Good evening, Reverend Hunt. Reverend Hunt.
It's a beautiful day. Thank you for having me and for all that you do for those who are in the village and need the support of the village.
Thank you so much. Tell us about Give Us This Day.
You know, it's a prayer excerpt when you hear that cry, give us this day. We're saying to God, first, we know you have everything, and we may not deserve anything, but we want you to know with humility that if you will, please grant us this day what we need, spirit, mind, and body. And God is faithful to doing that. We have a day in Arkansas and on a day across America that honors Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, as you so greatly stated, are still celebrating the holiday honoring Reverend Dr. King along with Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general. That day has to end, and it has to be a holy day, a day honoring spiritual leadership. Reverend Dr. King, the prophet, preacher, pastor. But, you know, so many people were a part of honoring this day in the making, and it's in our custody now. We're the custodians. What should we do? Well, Sister Vicki, can I tell you something? I thought about how you wanted me to prepare for this, but guess what? I prayed, and by divine connection, we have with us Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and he can tell us more about what should we be doing today regarding this violence, these murders, guns, a whole lot of things that we need to have a voice of prophetic utterance. Can we talk to him just for a moment?
Well, this Reverend Hunt, for all of us. I think our listeners have heard Reverend Ferguson earlier in the show tonight. We had an opportunity to play some of Reverend Ferguson's remarks, and he sounds uncannily like Dr. King. So first, Reverend Ferguson, thank you for joining us.
We're going to get him on.
Okay.
We're going to get him on, but we want to hear Reverend King. We have a divine connection. This is a special moment. And tonight the president is talking about guns in America, but Reverend King, somehow we have him, and he's going to share his heart on your show. And if we could just patch him in, he'll share, and then we'll get Reverend Ferguson. Can we get Reverend King? I've got him on hold.
Thank you, Dr. Hunt. I am certainly delighted to be a part of this show tonight, and thank you for inviting me. Let me say, as it relates to nonviolence, I think everybody knows my stance on nonviolence, and I'm really grateful to God that through the influence of the Negro Church that the way of nonviolence really became an integral part of our struggle. And I really believe that if this philosophy had not emerged, that I was convinced that many streets of the South would have been flowing with blood. Nonviolence is a very powerful piece. And the thing that we have to deal with today is we have a lot of pent-up frustrations, and they know what to do with violence. They could kill hundreds and hundreds of innocent people and argue that they are inciting a riot. They know how to handle violence, but they prove over and over again that they don't know how to handle nonviolence. And at that time, they would try to handle it by throwing us in jail, and we'd go into the jails, and we transformed them jails from dungeons of shame to havens of freedom and human dignity. And so what we have to understand is that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressed. So it must be demanded by the oppressed. And oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. There's this yearning for freedom that eventually manifests itself. And so as we deal with this nonviolence piece, we have to really delve deep into the philosophy of what nonviolence is really all about.
You know, our young people, they need it, but how can the leaders get this message when they are looking at us? You know, we really have a dire need for leadership. Where do we get that strength?
Well, the leadership piece is really developed, and I know during the struggle, our churches played a very integral part of the leadership in our churches. In 1955, when the bus boycott began, the very first day that we asked some people, there were about 300 people who offered up their automobiles, and about 100 of them were pastors of churches. And so I think there's a difference now where we are today as it relates to the leadership. So it's going to take education. I think it's an educational process as well as a legislative process in order to make a change and bring about any type of significant change.
Well, Reverend Dr. King, we the preachers, you told us about Rip Van Winkle, and we were taking a nap. And so I just want to know what can wake us up?
Well, it's a two-pronged piece. I think if we were to put it in two words, it would be education and legislation. We can march all day long. It's a wonderful thing, but we have to do it in a sense of nonviolence, and we have to do it knowing what we're marching for. We have to have a policy. We have to have an agenda, something in place to say our demands, and this is what we are looking for. Many people used to say that it was an educational process, and that therefore it could not be done through legislation, it couldn't be done through judicial decrees by the federal government, or it couldn't be done through executive orders by the President of the United States. It must be done through education. And I certainly believe that education must work in this whole area, but it is both education and legislation, not education or legislation.
So when we come back, we're going to hear from Reverend Hunt. And we're going to talk with Stephon Ferguson, the man who you hear sounding like Dr. King. So stay with us, everybody. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment.
To play sports to be a champion. On or off the field, each day you dedicate time and effort to reach your personal goals and dreams. that tobacco use can ruin your hard work and path to higher achievement. If you use tobacco, make a play that brings you one step closer to victory and better health. Call the Arkansas Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW to speak with a quit counselor about free medication and support. It's time to feel like the champion you are.
Do you have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life, too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato, or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships, too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
If you are just joining us, we have had an experience that so many of us wish were real. We have had an opportunity to hear someone who sounds just like Dr. King, and haven't you often wondered what he would think about the world in which we live today, about our community, about the violence, the unemployment, about the dream that so many of us feel has not been recognized or realized. Reverend Arthur Hunt has introduced us to Stephan Ferguson, who is the Atlanta man who, for lack of a better word, does this amazing impression of Dr. King. So both gentlemen, we're glad that you're with us in the village. Say hi to us.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Now, you're Dr. Ferguson, because Reverend Ferguson, because I recognize that hint of Dr. King in your voice. How long have you had a chance to bring his voice to life? How long have you worked on that skill?
I've been working with Dr. King for the past, I think, 13 years, and I currently work with the National Park Service here in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Site.
I see.
And I've been here for about 4 years.
Okay.
And so, but about the past 13 years.
Well, how amazing that you work at the King Center and you sound like Dr. King. Do you provide tours at the center?
I do historical presentations,
okay.
Reenactments throughout the park. I give the visitors some history of Dr. King and of the church and Ebenezer since its beginnings in 1886, which was really the base of who Dr. King was. Though he was a civil rights leader, he was first and foremost a minister of the gospel. And
sure.
So, that's pretty much what I do at the Martin Luther King Jr. site.
And visitors have to be blown away when they hear you.
I do get some really great reactions, and I am humbled and appreciative of the fact that God has allowed me to mm-hmm. use this gift that He's given mm-hmm. in a way that will hopefully inspire people
and illuminate Dr. King's story. Because when you hear your voice, it's as if we are listening to him. I noticed that you are on the cover of Atlanta Magazine. Tell us more about your interview with the magazine.
Oh, it was really exciting. I think there were some people who had come by the King Center and heard me speaking, and I got a call from them a few months ago and asking to do an interview. And so we did. There is a piece on their website, a clip of one of the speeches. We did a photo shoot and did a nice interview, and I really appreciate Atlanta Magazine for highlighting that area, not for me so much, but the message is you're speaking of right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really exciting, and I'm appreciative of it. So it hit the stands in about a week, I think New Year's Day, and it's been on the website for a little while now.
So if you'll hold on for just a few minutes, Mr. Ferguson, I want to get Reverend Hunt into the conversation for one final word on Give Us This Day. Okay. It's January 18th, Reverend Hunt. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the King holiday, and we're going to be at the state capitol.
And you're asking for at least 1,000 people to join you and other clergy at the capitol.
Yes, Give Us This Day. The NAACP has been in the Arkansas capitol for 34 years, and this is a special segment that's been added so that we can proclaim this day from proclamation to legislation. The governor has spoken, and now it's up to us, especially preachers, to do our part.
And so you all have the support of Governor Asa Hutchinson in terms of separating these celebrations of Dr. King and Robert E. Lee.
Absolutely. Even yesterday at a press conference, he reaffirmed what he spoke in a letter and at the NAACP prayer breakfast. The governor recognizes that the day does not need to have both polar opposites being celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a federal holiday. It's a 30th observance, and it needs to be exclusive honor, a holy day honoring spiritual leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for everyone at home listening or in their cars listening, what do you want them to do?
Well, go to giveusthisdaymlk.com. Look at this as a day that we cannot pay those who paved the way.
Mm-hmm.
We can't pay God, but we can say thank you. And we can come together in brotherly love to have the NAACP, to have other organizations advocating for this, and to really make it real. That's our heart.
Reverend Hunt, would like to thank you for joining us tonight in the village and for introducing us to Stefan Ferguson from Atlanta, who has this extraordinary gift of sounding like Dr. King. As we wrap up tonight's edition of the Village Celebration Radio Show, I have a special request. Mr. Ferguson, would you recite the I Have a Dream speech as we conclude tonight's show?
I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight.
and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's truth will be able to sing the new meaning, my country, tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee, I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims far, from every mountain far. Let freedom reign of America to be a great nation. This must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. Not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill in Mobile, Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, we'll be able to join hands, sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
You've been listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton.